Last week, the St. Louis Rams knocked off the Arizona Cardinals on the road, and this week they invade Lambeau Field looking for their second road win in a row. To take a look ahead to the Packers-Rams matchup, we're joined by Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press-Gazette for a preview. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game against the St. Louis Rams. We'll be featuring an interview with Green Bay Press-Gazette Packers columnist Pete Doherty in just a moment. But first, let's pay our respects to late Packers coach Lindy Infante, who passed away yesterday on Thursday at the age of 75. He was the Packers head coach from 1988 to 1991, four seasons worth, and is probably best remembered for his 1989 campaign leading the Cardiac Pack, that nickname applied to that Packers team that had several close calls throughout the season and ended up with a 10-6 record, the only winning record of Lindy Infante's Packers career. That was, in fact, kind of the first time I paid attention to the Packers in my lifetime. I'm being a 36-year-old man. Back in 1989, I believe I was in fifth grade. And I was, of course, aware the Packers existed, but when you're in like second and third grade, that's, you know, I'm more interested in recess than I am the Green Bay Packers. But you start getting a little bit older and you start paying attention. And I started to understand why everybody got so hyped up over the Green Bay Packers. And it was really a fun team to watch that Lindy Infante led in 1989 with players like Don Majkowski and his one and like Lindy Infante pretty much had one good season throwing the ball to Sterling Sharp. And then there was on the defensive side of the football, Tim Harris coming up with 19.5 sacks that season. So it was really fun. And if I'm correct, I believe players like Leroy Butler and Edgar Bennett were rookies that year. Maybe they didn't have a huge role in 1989, but that's kind of when they began their careers in the green and gold. And so it was just so much fun to watch because that was the year of the instant replay game against the Chicago Bears where Don Majkowski throws the touchdown. It's reviewed to Sterling Sharp and a whole brouhaha there. One of the longest instant replay reviews in NFL history. Seemed like it took forever, but the Packers come away with a victory there against the division rival Chicago Bears, and that was huge for a Packers team that had been, you know, basically for the better part of two decades, just lost nearly every game to the Chicago Bears. But they, you know, they win 10 games in total and just missed out on the playoffs. I can remember, in fact, it goes down to the last game of the season. I believe it was a Monday night game and the outcome of the Monday night game, which the Packers didn't even participate in, but the outcome of that game would have determined whether the Packers, went to the playoffs or not. And I believe the Cincinnati Bengals were involved, if memory serves me correctly. I can remember staying up to watch that game, and it didn't go the Packers' way, and the Packers shut out of the playoffs. Too bad, 10-6 record. Who doesn't get into the playoffs with a 10-6 record? That's pretty rare. But it was a fun season, and anyway, our Our thoughts go out to the friends and family of Lindy Infante, former head coach of the Green Bay Packers. So that's kind of our tribute to him this morning. But as we start looking forward to the game here, we've got an interview coming up here. Sorry if that sound bite didn't sound very good. Let's do that again.
Expert interview.
There we go. Much better. We got an interview with Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette coming up here. The pre-recorded here. I talked to him last night, and we'll get his thoughts here on this upcoming matchup, and I'll weigh in afterwards. But listen in. We welcome onto the show now Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Mr. Doherty, thanks for joining the show, and thanks for taking some time to talk to us today.
My pleasure, Brian. Mr. Doherty, huh?
Mr. Doherty. I try to keep it formal on this show, but thank you, though.
Sure.
We got some stuff to talk about previewing this Packers upcoming game against the St. Louis Rams. To start things off here, Brian Bulaga has practiced the past 2 days, including in pads on Thursday. What do you think the chances are we'll see him on Sunday?
I don't know. Going into the week, I thought no way. Even yesterday, I would have said, you know, sure, they're probably just trying to ease him back in for a week. I guess I'm still, part of me is inclined to think that they would want to wait another week just to get him used to doing football stuff. But you know how it is with injury info in this league. You can't believe anything anybody says one way or the other. I guess if I'm a betting man, for some reason I'd still bet against it, even though everything they're saying makes it sound like he's got a chance to play.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would have thought they would have kept him out through the bye week even to give him that extra time, but maybe he's ready. I don't know. But sticking with the Packers offensive line here, I know this kind of isn't a sexy thing here, but I got to think one of the best matchups in the NFL between the Packers interior offensive line against Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald. Who's going to get the better of this matchup?
Oh, man. You know, just a couple people I've talked to in the league about Donald, because I haven't seen the Rams play at all this year, but they basically describe him as, you know, just an animal right now, that he might be as good a defensive tackle as there is in the game. So he could very easily, even though that's the strength of one of the Packers' strengths is that line and the interior of that offensive line. I think this is a really hard guy to handle. That whole defensive line is tough to handle. I'm writing it right now, working on it, but it just reminds me a lot with the way they built that team of the Giants in the, you know, of a few years ago, who won the Super Bowl in 07 and 11. I'm not picking these guys to win the Super Bowl, but they're built the same way. Just all those high picks on the defensive line and free agent signings, you know, with Nick Fairley. They're just all in with trying to win the game up front with that defensive line.
Yeah, that they do have a very good defensive line. 4 first-rounders, I think they're really, really good.
Yep.
Talking about the skill positions here for a moment, is there any concern about the Packers' wide receiving core? You've basically got the top 3 options all dealing with injuries, albeit to different extents. But is there any concern there that, you know, some of these guys may not be healthy or healthy enough? I don't know.
Yeah, there's always would be some, you know, especially when you lost your top guy before the season even started and he's done for the year. But they have the great equalizer at quarterback. You know, as long as you get a quarterback like that, as long as you have, you know, basically NFL-level receivers playing for you, you're going to score points and you're going to move the ball. I mean, just look at what Tom Brady has done, you know, since he's had a couple of years where they had some talent, you know, when they had Randy Moss and they put up record numbers when they had those guys. But, you know, you look at what he's doing it with now, and they're still a really good offense. So the quarterback is so important. So as long as that guy's upright, you know, they're in really good shape.
Yeah, yeah. Turning to the defensive side of the football, I got tons of injury questions here, I guess. But I just saw today safety Sean Richardson listed on the injury report with a neck injury. And that just alarmed me because this is a guy who underwent, you know, spinal surgery in 2013, I think it was. Do you know anything more about that? Is this anything, you know, serious?
I don't know anything about that, and I probably know nothing more than about the injuries than you've seen just reading the McCarthy transcripts. And yeah, that was, in fact, Wes Hodgkiewicz, who I worked with, that was the first words out of his mouth as well. That's not good.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he did. He had neck fusion surgery, and you know, any issues there, you can't mess with that stuff. So you just you wonder what it is, and you know, with the fusion, they just the risk of injury goes way, you know, a catastrophic injury goes way up when you have those fusions because you have fewer discs to defuse any kind of impact and any kind of trauma. So if he's having problems, that's I mean, that is potentially a really bad sign for his career.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, Pete, before we let you go here, can we just get you a quick prediction for the game?
Oh, man, I don't have to usually make my picks till tomorrow night. You know, I really like. I know the Rams are only 2-2. I really like them. I think they could be easily be a team that makes the playoffs and goes does a deep run just mm-hmm. because of that defensive line and yeah. all that talent. I just don't know how good Nick Foles is, but I guess push comes to shove. This game playing, you know, with the way Rodgers has been playing at Lambeau and with how the Packers are playing, I'd have to go with them. I'll say 26-20 Packers. I think that 10-point. Or whatever it is, spread, that seems really high to me.
Yeah. Well, if you change your mind and we see it in the paper, we won't hold it against you if you want to stew on this a little bit. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. We appreciate it, and enjoy the game.
Yeah, okay. Anytime, Brian. Good to talk to you.
All right, take care. Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as I continue on giving my two cents on this matchup. And a couple of the same things that Pete Doherty mentioned as well. But I really think one of the most interesting things about this game is, and again, I said, it's not the sexy thing. We're not talking about quarterbacks and wide receivers and the fantasy football players here. But the interior of the Packers offensive line against Aaron Donald, the Rams defensive tackle, who, as Pete Doherty said, he's maybe the best defensive tackle in the entire NFL. I know ProFootballFocus.com, he's the highest graded player at his position, and he's definitely dangerous. And what he is, he's really in the mold of Mike Daniels, kind of that smallish defensive tackle. You know, a guy who's sub 300 pounds, which, you know, you play defensive line in the NFL, you almost got to be 300. But when you're, you know, sub 300, these guys, what they do is they make up for it with elite quickness. And that's what Daniels has. And that's what, you know, even Aaron Donald, you know, takes it up almost a notch over Mike Daniels, although they're both really, really good players in their own right. So that's really the concern for me. But I mean, if there's one area of this team where the Packers might be able to handle that, it's with the interior of their offensive line. Whereas, you know, on the edges, that's kind of where the Packers have been burned this season. You know, off the tackle positions, you know, in particular, Don Barclay over at right tackle, to a lesser extent, David Bakhtiari at the left tackle, you know, trying to push away these edge rushers from the Packers, and that's where they most of the sacks have come on so far. But I mean, the Packers' interior offensive line, you've got Josh Sinden and TJ Lang, one of the best duos of guards in the entire NFL. I mean, these guys have been together now for so many years. They are just the ultra reliable types that you just know are going to get the job done. More often than not, they had a little bit of a rough showing this past week against the San Francisco 49ers, probably the offensive line's worst performance of the season. But like I said, in the aftermath of the game, if that was the worst performance from the Packers offensive line the entire year, they should consider themselves lucky because it really wasn't that bad. But now combine them with Corey Linsley, who enters his second year in the NFL this year and is picking up right where he left off. In 2014, when he was named to the NFL's All-Rookie Team by the Pro Football Writers of America, the Packers are, you know, very well set up to handle Aaron Donald. If any team is, you know, the Packers can do it. So I think if they can, you know, almost neutralize him, or for every good play Aaron Donald has, if the Packers pancake him, you know, almost cancel him out, You know, that's what you want, and I think that's what the Packers can do. So they're in a really good position there in being able to handle, you know, not just Aaron Donald, but I mean the whole, you know, mentioned it before. I think there's four first rounders on the Rams defensive line. We're talking Chris Long, we're talking Robert Quinn, we're talking Michael Brockers, all of them first round players, all on the defensive line. So no small challenge for the Green Bay Packers. And you know, Robert Quinn in particular, that's another one too. That's really going to be of attention because he's going to be lining up more often than not across from Don Barclay, who's kind of, you know, thought of as the weak link for the Green Bay Packers. But I shouldn't even say that. I mean, we don't know. I was going to get to Brian Bulaga later, so maybe that's why I'm pushing this off a little bit. So hang on, we'll come back to Brian Bulaga. The other side of the football, Packers defense, Rams offense. I think the thing to watch is the young playmakers for the St. Louis Rams. So you've got Tavon Austin at wide receiver, not only an explosive wide receiver, but one of the best return specialists in the NFL. He's already returned a punt for a touchdown this year, and he's done the same last year as well. He's really dangerous. And then you've got at running back, Todd Gurley, you know, the guy who suffered the injury in college, and you kind of wondered about his status, but a first round draft pick, and you know, without a doubt, a supremely talented player. And you know, his season kind of got off rather, you know, anonymously, I guess you could say, because Todd Gurley didn't even play the first two games of the season. And understandably, the Rams didn't want to stress him. They knew, and Jeff Fisher mentioned this in his press conference with the Packers media this week. He wasn't the he they didn't draft him to be the running back of the season opener of the 2015 season for the St. Louis Rams. They drafted him to be the running back of the future, and they didn't want to, you know, compromise anything, you know, early in the season and prevent him from a long and productive career. So they hold him out the first two games. Then game number three, finally makes his debut, has something like six carries for 9 yards. It just nothing. And then last week against the Arizona Cardinals, Todd Gurley just busts out with that huge performance, over 140 yards rushing. So he's you know, if you watch Todd Gurley in college at the University of Georgia, you know how dangerous he can be. And the Packers have to be ready for that. The good news is, I mean, they've pretty much shut down three very good running backs in a row now. Marshawn Lynch week two, Jamal Charles week three, Carlos Hyde week four. Could Todd Gurley be the fourth consecutive running back they shut down? Very, very well could be. But you know, this is going to be fun to watch no matter what, just because you know Todd Gurley's kind of like on the brink of superstardom in the NFL, and you just, of course, interested to see how the Packers do against him and want, if you're a Packers fan, to shut him down. You know what? In predicting this game, I was really, really close to predicting the St. Louis Rams upset. Because, as you know, I teams just don't go undefeated in the NFL. Even the best ones. But we got two in history: the Miami Dolphins of the Don Shula years and the New England Patriots a few years ago that go undefeated during the regular. It just doesn't happen. You know, they're going to trip up somewhere along the way, and the Packers are going to be favorited in every game. So nobody's going to see the loss coming no matter when it happens. So I thought, you know, this is a dangerous team. A team, like we said, beat Arizona on the road last week. Why couldn't the Rams do it? The one thing that prevented me from picking the outright upset here, though, just because I thought, you know, nobody's going to see it coming. This could be the place where it happens. But the thing is, all this talent we've been talking about for the Rams, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, Tavon Austin, all these guys are in their first or second year. I just don't think they're ready yet, to go into Lambeau Field with Aaron Rodgers at the top of his game and knock them off. Maybe in another year or two, when they have more, you know, they're complemented by a few more first rounders. In fact, that's almost, you know, maybe a little bit disrespectful when I just mentioned, you know, all the first rounders on the Rams defensive line. But I mean, they're first rounders, but with the exception of Aaron Donald, are they great first rounders? You know, they're good. They're good. Maybe outside of Aaron Donald, they're not great though. So you don't have the ton of confidence in Nick Foles. He's done all right. And maybe that's the key to the game right there, is how Nick Foles plays. If he can play really well, I mean, maybe the Rams have the chance to pull off the upset. So that'll be a key for the Packers defense as well. But, you know, I just don't think, you know, all these young guys, they're ready to go knock off the Packers in Lambeau and knock off Aaron Rodgers, more importantly. Because, I mean, it's not like Todd Gurley and Tavon Austin can stop Aaron Rodgers. They can only hope to keep pace with him. So I'm going with Packers 28, Rams 24. So I got Rams covering the spread. So that's what I got. But the Packers come away with the victory, score four touchdowns. Sounds about right. Maybe you'd like to see him score a little bit more at home, a little bit more on pace with, 30-plus points a game. But a win's a win. So got the Packers winning this week straight up. Next segment of the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, going back to the previous day's injury report, just a few notes here that I wanted to pass along. And one we've already talked about here with Pete Doherty, Sean Richardson being added to the injury report. And the thing is, he wasn't on it Wednesday. So there were nine players on the Packers injury report, fairly lengthy injury report on the first day of practice of the week on Wednesday. Then Sean Richardson kind of almost seems like he's a footnote because he's added after everybody else. But then you look, neck injury. And unless, you know, Sean Richardson just slept on his neck wrong, which, you know, we've probably all had happen to us in our life. And maybe that's the case. But the antennas go up when you see that neck injury and know this is a guy who underwent spinal fusion surgery, and he was classified as a limited participant in practice. And I just, for all I know, he could have taken part in practice, and then the injury occurs, and then he shut down the rest of the way. But for how delicate neck injuries are, and to know that, I mean, if this is a reoccurrence of the same injury, and I don't know if it is, but should it be, it could be the end of his career in the NFL. A little bit concerning there. We've heard no word other than just what the Packers have listed on their injury report. So we'll find out more hopefully today on Friday. About what happened there with Sean Richardson. But on top of that, just another thing to note here. Keep an eye on linebacker Clay Matthews was downgraded on the injury report, going from, he was listed on the injury report on Wednesday with a quadriceps injury, but he was listed as a full participant. The Packers more or less just making note he's got an issue. But then on Thursday, he goes from full to a limited participant. You kind of, I mean, just because Clay Matthews is such a good, you know, the best player on the Packers defense, it worries you a little bit. Some to keep an eye on. It could certainly be a case of the Packers taking a precautionary measure, you know, wanting to head off any further injury before it happens and just kind of, you know, really limit him, shut him down before, you know, anything major occurs. Could be that case. Regardless, it's worth keeping an eye on for you know, somebody that's you don't want to see on the injury report, let alone in a limited capacity. So Sean Richardson, Clay Matthews, kind of noteworthy items on the injury report from Thursday. And that kind of leads us into the next segment of the show.
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, the Packers released their updated injury report that includes game day status projections. This is the day where teams who play on Sunday, at least, release those injury reports that include the designations such as probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. If you probably see those a lot of time along the crawl on ESPN or the other sports networks, things like that. And this is where they come from, that Friday injury report. And you know, we're certainly interested in seeing where Sean Richardson and Clay Matthews are. But I think beyond that, if there's another player you're really interested in seeing the status for, it's offensive lineman Brian Bulaga, who we alluded to earlier. So he's been out the past three games with the sprained MCL, underwent surgery to repair it. So he's now been out, you know, 3 weeks, and he returned to practice this week, and albeit on a limited basis, as the, you know, they're kind of bringing him back piecemeal, little by little, baby steps here, as you can understand, coming back from surgery, coming back from rather, you know, semi-serious knee injury here, not season-ending, but something you don't take lightly, especially for a guy with an injury history like Brian Bulaga has. He's really a concern here for the Green Bay Packers because, you know, Don Barclay at right tackle hasn't exactly played great. He's battled, and that's great, but he's no Brian Bulaga. And you just wonder, are the Packers really going to, you know, bring Brian Bulaga back, you know, basically a little more than 3 months out from his from the injury that occurred in practice in the lead up to the week two game against the Seattle Seahawks? Are they really going to take this chance? You know, I've speculated right here on the show before. I would have thought they would hold him out right until through the bye week to pretty much give him, you know, almost essentially an entire month off, because the first game coming off the bye isn't until November 1st. You know, I would have thought they'll just, hey, this team is 4-0. Why take a chance? Don Barclay, while he's not the best in the NFL, he's giving them enough to get by. You know, but they'll just try to ride this out with Brian Bulaga. That was my thought process. And then I was, you know, semi-stunned to see him practicing this week already. I just didn't think it would happen this quick, I suppose. And so that's what we're waiting to see. You know, what can he, first of all, he's been a limited participant in practice. Can he go to full? And on top of that, you know, is he going to be anything more than, you know, that questionable status? Could even perhaps be listed as probable on the injury report. We'll find out today, Friday, when the Packers release, you know, typically in the afternoon when they release the injury report with the projections here. So, got to wait a few hours if you're listening to the live edition of the show. If you're listening to the podcast version, may have been released already and you already know, but, That'll be interesting to find out. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thanks to you to Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette for helping us preview the Packers-Rams game. And we'll see you again on Monday. My call to action, like I usually do, like always, if you've not done so already, please, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This podcast is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall, but it helps us get the word out if you have some reviews and ratings on iTunes. And just write a brief little review if you would. We'd really appreciate the one small thing we ask. Anyway, have a good weekend, folks. Enjoy the game. We'll recap it here on Monday. So we'll be back 8:30 a.m. Central Time, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.